is South Jersey's talk station, WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
No worries. Mid to high 50s by next weekend. Hope to get out for some winter bow now in the cold and some snow. Hopefully still on the ground. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of January 20th and 21st. Quick shout out. I was remiss about this last week. Mr. Bill Collins. Met him at the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. Thank you much for listening, people. We have a really jammed show coming up. In our next segment will be Jim Hutchinson Jr. talking about the summer flounder, a.k.a. fluke, sea bass, and porgy rig stripers. We'll cover that more in a couple of weeks. What is happening, man? Looking at some significant cuts, mostly going to be time element, it looks like, insofar as shortening the season. If you go with this option or going at that option, size, length, what have you, it's always who knows what the hell is going to happen. But on a very somber note, listeners, I'm not one to really do this, you know, the request prayers, that type thing. It's just not my game. But however, in this instance, because I happen to know the young lady, I've known her for years, our prayers and best wishes are, man, it just, you don't know, man. You don't know. Senator Jessica, Jesse Gillen, a bartender at one of my favorite restaurants in the entire world, the Piccalilli Inn. Currently in a coma, and we don't know what is happening there. No progress, whatever. But they've started a GoFundMe page. And please, special needs son there, little Jack, it's really a heartbreaking situation. Again, a GoFundMe page. Go to the Piccalilli Inn Facebook or Instagram, social media things, and find out how you contribute. Man, it's just a sad thing. So it's such a vibrant, beautiful young woman. And it just shows you, man, as my lovely Dee Marie says, you're not promised tomorrow. But coming up, it's Hutch, and we're talking, upcoming regulations. Who knows what's going to be happening. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
You have the choice, whether it's going out to dinner or ordering takeout at a local restaurant. Those choices help to put money back into your community. And Town Square Media South Jersey puts a spotlight on local restaurants.
Trio North Wildwood, chef-driven, quality-focused, bridging the gap between bar food and fine dining. TrioNW.com. Vincenzo's Ristorante, putting the accent on Italian. Soon to be your favorite spot for a delectable lunch or dinner in Galloway. VincenzoSmithville.com. Chico and Sons in Northfield, voted number one sub shop in South Jersey year after year. ChicoandSons.com. Provenza Restaurant and Event Center on Wellington Avenue in Ventnor. A mouth-watering Latin American steakhouse providing customers with a truly great dining experience. On Facebook at Provenza Restaurant Event Center. Looking for a fun night out in Atlantic City? Head out to Gin Ricky's, the Roy Social Hall, and Wild Honey Barbecue, and party like a rock star.
Thank you for supporting these great local restaurants from Town Square Media, South Jersey.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work. Sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Tis the season. Yeah, December. Yeah, last one. Yeah, tis the. No, this is the season. Show season coming up. Fisheries meetings coming up. Time to people pull their hair out coming up, because when it comes to fishing, saltwater fishing, that now rules and regulations are being promulgated. Who knows what's going to happen? Big questions out there. Porgy, sea bass, summer flounder measures 2024. who better but to expound on the best, most thorough, professional fisheries news man in the business, Jim Hutchinson Jr., managing editor, New Jersey and Delaware Bay edition of The Fisherman Magazine, filling us in on what's happening next week. Whoa, next week we got down here in Virginia, something about the stripers. A lot of stuff happening. Hutch, how you doing, little brother?
I'm good. How are you?
It's a crazy time. You know me, Hutch, catch and eat. That's my thing. What is happening with the regs? What are you seeing? You're at the meetings. I'm hearing horror stories all over the place, beyond Chicken Little. This is Chicken Little in the oven. What's going on?
So I've gotten used to fisheries management over 20 years in terms of saying it could be worse. So the only thing that I could say is with all the management hearings going on around us, it could be worse, right? You know, striped bass, we got jammed up in the 28 to 31 inch slot 2 years ago, was it?
Yeah.
And make some people happy. Some people are displeased. You know, whatever you think about it, it's going to continue. When the ASMSC meets next week, we're still going to have a slot. Nothing's going to change that. The only thing that's going to come out of next week's meeting is whether or not there's a different set of options or a different set of regulations for a guy who's, you know, for you and I, or for you and I if we're fishing on a for-hire boat.
There you go.
We want to have two separate sets of regulations. But summer flounder, of course, is always the biggest thing I get. You know, when you and I, Tom, are working at shows together, like Atlantic City, for example, what do we get all day long?
Listen,
what's up with Fluke?
They come flying at with eyes wide open, like their ass has just been electrocuted. Yeah, their eyes. Well, what's going on with the Fluke? I don't know. You want a subscription? I don't know what to tell.
You know,
re-up and I'll tell you. Yeah, and here's a pack of fish bites.
I spent a lot of time trying to figure this stuff out because, you know, these are the questions you get. So it takes a long time to try to get, you know, to a better understanding. So here's really where we're at, right? This is a year where the powers that be, NOAA Fisheries, says you got to cut back on your fluke, right? You got to take a cut. It's got to be a 28% cut. It was going to be something along lines of 45% or something, but there's some, you know, we have some people working behind the scenes and trying to explain things out. And, you know, there's different representatives on the council that kind of give a good argument. And so what started at 40% is a 28% cut. So the advisors in New Jersey already met. They reviewed a couple of options. Those options were shared with some people on social media. You might have seen them.
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably change once again before we get a final shot at voting on them. But basically, we're looking at there's another slot fish combination for fluke in there. You know, maybe two fish in the slot, one fish at the slot. That's an option. But if I were to bet on this stuff, as if I were to bet on a Cowboys Eagles game.
hey, they both suck, Hutch. They both suck.
Sorry, I digress. But if I were to bet on this, I would bet that what we're looking at when the New Jersey Marine Fisheries Council meets on March 7th is either three at 17.5 inches or three at 18 inches. And here's the kicker. 17.5 inches would give you something like 104 days. And three at 18 inches would give you something about like 145 days. So just a half inch size limit in terms of the way they do their formulas.
Yeah.
That half inch size limit will cost you 40 days of season.
Yeah.
So that's the biggie, right? That's everybody wants to know about flounder, and that's what we're going to be looking at. And I just tell people that if you're really interested in having a shot at choosing, you know, raising your hand and saying, this is what I want, March 7th in Stafford Township, 5 p.m., that's where they'll hold the next New Jersey Marine Fisheries Council meeting. And that is the most democratic meeting of the year.
Yeah.
People show up in unison. You know, there's a mass of people.
It's going to be, I think, Jim, it starts at 5. Let's get there. Plan to get there at least 4:30, if not early. Right, in the Stafford Bill, right across from where I get my Scissor Sisters. Yeah, right there. East Bay Avenue.
Yeah,
you can't miss it. But other and Hutch, the fluke, more than bass, more than sea bass, fluke is always standing room only, it seems, especially when you have things like this happening.
I tell everybody, and it's the, I think Reggie Jackson used the term, and I've stolen it since. Fluke is the straw that stirs the drink here.
That's
it. Drives our season. Everything else comes after. And that's national surveys that they've done through the American Sport Fishing Association have said flatfish, flounder species, number one. And certainly through our Fisherman Magazine surveys of subscribers, we found the same thing. It's fluke first, striped bass second.
Jim, again, the question always pops up, and I've spoken to biologists, you know, marine, whatever the whole, and it's is the fluke population and that dire straits you were talking, 40% even down to 28%, are they being overfished? Is overfishing occurring? Where are they coming up with these numbers? All these years doing this program, I'm still in the dark. I go to these meetings and I just blink my eyes, you know, like behind sunglasses, like, what's going on? Where do these come from?
You know, the biggest fact of where this comes from is from the angler effort and harvest surveys, the Marine Recreational Information Program. So, if I were sitting in front of everybody and said this, somebody's going to throw something at me. But here's the bottom line.
That's vintage Hutch.
So MRIP goes out, the surveyors go out and they talk to people out in the field. Hey, how you doing? Did you catch any fish? How many fish did you catch? Can I see what's it look like? You know, I, for one, have never in 50 years been surveyed by anybody out there on a dock. They take that information, and then they're supposed to use this angler registry that we have. That's why we have the angler registry. That's why you have to register in the state of New Jersey so your name and number are in the system. So the surveyors from the national end can call you at home, contact you at home either by mail or by phone, and say, how many times did you fish last week, last month, last year? How did you? So then they combine all this at the end of the year. They take the effort, the phone survey, mail survey, and then they take the harvest survey, the dockside intercepts. They combine the two to come out with a number on our harvest. So if in 2022, for example, this MRIP survey showed that we were 30 to 40% over what we should have been, what the managers said our limits were going to lead us to, wow, that's a lot. You guys are probably going to have to cut back because this impacts the stock. Yep. Because you caught 30 or 40% more. So that means there's 30, 40% less in the stock, right? That there's a cut there. So that's where our cutbacks come from. That's how they do the stock assessments. The problem is, if you read in the Fisherman Magazine, I think it was last September, NOAA Fisheries has acknowledged that their MRIP survey may be off and may be overestimating effort by as much as 40%.
Right. Hutch, that was a blistering editorial, by the way.
Editor's that was more of an article than anything else. Yeah. People called it an editorial. I sat in on that. I got clued up. Somebody teed me off about the conference call. And I showed up. And in the queue, I raised my hand. And I got to think there must have been a blank look along the federal bureaucrat side saying, who let Hutchinson in?
Yeah.
You know, and it was really just a news story, Tom. That's staggering news. So that's really where that information comes from, is the stock assessments use this data, you know, trawl surveys that they do every couple of years. But it's that data that's used to punish us. And that's where I think the disconnect is. And that's where I think this system is still flawed. But
what's
the one thing I would say, and this is the most complex thing, and I've written about this in The Fisherman. There's something called the Recreational Reform Initiative, which is trying to level off the deep cuts. You know, we're never going to see the highest peaks, but we're never going to be spending time in the lowest valleys either. This thing is supposed to try to normalize this stuff.
Right.
And keep a standard for a couple of years. That's what saved us from getting a 40-something percent cut to a 28% cut fluke this year. So folks are trying to fix the system little by little, but it's a hard run.
This is March 7th.
March 7th. That's when we'll have our shot.
East Bay year. Avenue. Black sea bass,
no change in black sea bass. Porgy, we're going to get a little bit. We're actually going to get a little bit more time back from last year when they cut us down half the year. So it's actually going to be okay.
But what about, don't the scup have a 10% cut inbound?
They do, but keep in mind, last year, NOAA Fisheries shut down the porgy fishery in the middle of the year. So they cut us down. So being able to come back was a matter of saying, okay, let's pretend the whole season is open and available, and now let's take a 10% cut. So now you're looking at like a what they're doing is like a winter through late spring and an early fall through winter. So maybe we lose the porgy fishery during the summer months, but heck, we've got fluke, right? You know, so.
In the sea bass status quo, here's the thing, Hutch. Less registered boats, whatever, less fishermen, whatever, less this, less that, less this, or that. In your heart of hearts as a newsman, fisheries newsman, do you see it ever getting above three fish of any size when it comes to the flounder? Are we stuck at the tray mark? Eins, zwei, drei. I mean, three. There you go, three.
I don't know. That's a really good question. I feel like, I don't know. I don't know, man. That's a really good question. I can't see more than three ever. You know, it's sort of like we had a conversation at the office recently. We're talking about the winter fishery. And years ago, Tom, you remember this, the Fisherman Magazine produced 50 issues a year.
Yeah.
50. I used to take 2 weeks off, and those 2 weeks off were spent just trying to get everything together for the new year. 50 issues a year.
Right.
And then Jane Lubchenco came in as NOAA administrator in the Obama administration. They shut the Black Sea bass fishery down in the middle of the 2009 season. Mm-hmm. And then we never got our winter fishery back. The Fisherman Magazine is back to 38 issues now because there's no winter sea bass fishery. And this year there was no winter porgy fishery. You know, there's a part of me that thinks that NOAA Fisheries is just trying to make things easier on themselves.
Right.
So to answer your question, I thought I'd have a sea bass fishery back again by now in January and February. I would have been wrong about that.
Yep, not happening. I remember a softball interview. I don't want to mention the publication with Lubchenco when she was brought on board. And I said, so much for a tough question here or there. I mean, it was a total stroke job. And I remember reading some testimony that she had somewhere about she compared whatever situation, catch shares or something, to
A Slurpee
at Wawa. Is that it? Is that right? Or 7-Eleven or something like that. And I said, Mary, Mother of God. And there we go.
Yeah, that was horrible. She was trying to explain to a bunch of college students, and that was at a workshop where Jimmy Donofrio was there too.
Oh.
So she dumbed it down for these college students and said, you know, all of our fisheries is like a Slurpee where everybody wants a sip. So I was like, you're an idiot.
He must have. Jimmy must have like lit off like a Nike missile off that chair. He was. Oh my God.
He blistered her. You know, I was involved in fisheries management then, and I had been in a meeting with Lubchenco. She was not. She's an ideologue, but she's back. You know, she works in the Biden administration. Yeah. She's back in the White House.
Hutch, now we have the boat shows coming up. Now the Fisherman is the MTA show, Marine Trades, whatever, coming up there. It's going to be what, in Raritan, Edison, whatever. The Fisherman, I understand, is running the seminar series there.
So that particular weekend in February, it's the President's Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Jersey Shore Boat Sale and Expo in the Edison Center up there. Seminars all weekend long by the Fisherman Magazine. I leave there Friday morning to go set up the Philadelphia Fishing Show.
The DeGennaro Show,
OPA.
Yeah.
We've got seminars from the Fisherman there as well. That same weekend, we've also got Surf Day in Lincroft. And, God, I think there's something else, too. So, busy, busy weekend.
Except for, with the exception of the surf, I mean, there are guys that fluke fish the surf. I know the first question is going to be asked. I'm honored to work the boot there for you. It's one day or whatever at the MTA Show. All I caught last year were shorts when it comes to the fluke. What are they doing? It's always, even when they look, I think if they lowered it to 16 inches, guys will, and me, I'm raising my hand. I'm the first to do it. Bitching about, all I do is catch shorts. So I'm preparing myself for that.
It's all relative to where you're fishing, right? When you're fishing, how much fishing you do.
Yep.
You know, if you're able to get out just on a Saturday and you've got a little skiff that never leaves the bay, yeah, you'd probably want a smaller fish, and you want to be able to get out there in the spring. So your experience, and certainly a guy's experience in Cape May County is going to be different from a guy's experience who lives up in Monmouth County.
Sure.
Fish is, you know, outside on the Rattlesnake or out in Raritan Bay. So,
well, Hutch, look forward to seeing it at one of the shows. We'll run into each other. So I text here, what's going on? It's going to be another fun year, Hutch. I can't wait. It's the wheels are starting to roll.
I'm pretty sure you're in the booth with us for one of the shows. We'll talk about that in the next couple of weeks because I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, as someone said to me, a young, nice little young lady said to me at the Wildwood Expo, "Hey, is that Tom P? Boy, your hair is all white." Thank you, kid. Thank you. Oh, you take care, man. Best of your dad and the family.
You too.
Let's see you, brother.
God bless.
Hutch, managing editor, New Jersey, Delaware Bay edition of the Fisherman Magazine. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app. Bullet points.
I'm Eben Brown. A federal court could undo the cultural stigma of going postal. The term came about from a series of workplace shootings at U.S. post offices in the late 80s and early 90s. Congress outlawed firearms at Postal Service buildings in the 70s, but now a federal judge in Florida says that law is unconstitutional. The case involves Tampa postal worker Emmanuel Ayala, who was federally charged for bringing his gun to work. Ayala has his Florida concealed weapons license and legally owns the firearm he chooses to carry for self-defense. The federal judge cites the Supreme Court's Bruin decision in saying there's no historical precedent in banning lawful carry of guns in federal buildings and post offices. That's the test set up by the Supreme Court in striking down bans on concealed carry in New York State. Ayala still faces a charge of resisting arrest. And those are your bullet points. I'm Eben Brown, Fox News.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of January 2021. Yeah, that was Jim Hutchinson Jr., managing editor of the Fisherman Magazine. Indeed, it is showtime, fun time, regulation time, and the recreational anglers keep taking it on this. Hey, remember last week we had Jimmy Sloan on NJ Fish and Wildlife, upland bird biologist, talking about the hen turkey project, fixing with transmitters. Mentioned the name Lou Gambale, National Wild Turkey Federation, came out. I want to get Lou on the line right now. A frequent guest, especially in the spring when he's not traveling between 15 states hunting gobblers. Lou is just a great guest. He is the chairman of the National Wild Turkey Federation's President's Council. And man, that's a long way from the Tri-County Longbeards when I first met Lou way back when. Gumbad Lou, thanks for joining us. How you been, man?
Good morning, my brother. Always great to talk to you, man.
Lou, we had the numbers last week with Jimmy Sloan. Now, last year's gobbler harvest was down 10, not much. But it's especially, Lou, North Jersey, traditionally, way back when, was the, you know, where it all started. And you read, I see what's happening in Pennsylvania, in South Carolina, North Carolina, the Midwest, the different turkey flocks, different states. It seems, is it an overreaction on my part, Lou, or are turkeys on a pretty much a nationwide decline, besides the suburban birds that attack the mail carriers and grandmas with the kids, you know, waiting for the bus? What do you see happening, and what's going on in Jersey?
Well, the bad news is that across the country, there are varying levels of declines in our populations, in some areas quite significant. The good news is that our Fish and Wildlife Services have pulled the fire alarm, as well as the National Wild Turkey Federation. So I will tell you that while we sit and talk right now, there's no silver bullet, or else we'd fix this thing quick. What we're learning, going deeper with research, is the list of potential contributions to the decline is fairly significant. Some of which in the end are going to be totally out of our control. Things such as weather, you know,
right.
Weather, untimely weather during our spring hatch obviously can affect the success of a overall hatch and survival significantly. I would always put habitat at the top of the list. There's certainly going to be folks that will disagree with me with that, but at the end of the day, we still lose the equivalent of the size of Yellowstone Park every year in this country to development.
Lou, let me interrupt you a second. Not to be rude, but that's me. It's Tom P. P stands for rude in that context, people. But just going down the turnpike recent years, where there used to be turkeys all over the place. So the number of pad sites, I mean, hundreds of acres of all these pads of warehouses. What is going on? I'm seeing the turkey countdown or downs are down there. The numbers are down there. There's nowhere for them to go.
So you know what I tell folks? I say, hey, look, starting today, start taking a little visual inventory as you travel around for the next year, just in your little circle, and think about what you see in a year that went away in terms of habitat. And so it's not just the turkey, of course, that's affected by the loss of the habitat. Then conversely, as wildlife populations fight to survive, they move into what potentially could be unsuitable habitat. So, you know, unsuitable habitat is all you're going to get there is you're going to get a decline in populations of species that are going to die back to call it a managing level. And let's face it, today's hunters and fishermen, they want numbers. That's what they want. They want numbers. And, you know, sure, it's great, but at the end of the day, as the habitat goes away, so do a lot of our species. But I would also tell you, the problem's much bigger than that. We've uncovered through research, we've got a measurable amount of hens that have decided each subsequent spring to check out from breeding. I'm not sure anyone really knows exactly why that's happening yet.
Whoa, Mr. President, Chairman, whatever. What did you just say?
Well, so if you go back prior, let's just say, go back 5 years ago, you know, the consensus was when you saw a hen during a spring that didn't have poults, your thought was that, a nest raider, like a raccoon or something, took the eggs and or the poults were killed from a host of things such as weather or predators or whatever.
Right.
And that was it. It was she had poults, but she doesn't have them now. What we know now is that there are just hens that aren't breeding. They're not going to nest and they're not laying eggs. So simply put, if you got a harem of, let's say a drove of, you know, 7, 8, 10 hens and you got your dominant gobbler, and hopefully you have your dominant gobbler, you know, the idea was he bred them all. And what we know now is that either he's breeding them all and they're not all laying eggs, or some of them are just deciding they don't want to breed. And we're getting a smaller percentage of hens. You're starting to hear this term across the country, super hens, which that comes from the idea that there's a percentage of hens that breed every year through their maturity and always bear hatches, where others, for whatever reason, don't. But it further, you know, muddies the water, if you will, on understanding what's the key drivers of our decline. And look, the research, I think, will begin to get at that, because with the GPS tracking, we've got, if you hear the name Dr. Michael Chamberlain down south, he's, in my opinion, the leading authority on our wild turkey right now. And a lot of the metrics that we're using for research have come out of Dr. Chamberlain's camp, and he's running point, I think, in a lot of these research projects. We're blessed to have a guy like that with that much passion to get behind this. So we're going to learn a lot. I tell you, I factor in disease, Tom. LPVD is another disease that lymphoproliferative disease, which we're beginning to find is more prevalent now in the birds than we thought. So through this research, and I know Jimmy probably talked about this, blood samples, we've got the Penn State and UPenn running point on the research. I'll tell you, I'd be remiss. I'm very happy with our NJ Fish and Wildlife team. I think a lot of Jimmy, himself and his team, they got a lot of passion. Yeah. They really do. And I tell you what, when you get out with them and you work with them, let me tell you, a lot goes into this project. It really takes a lot of work, a lot of pre-work, a lot of work during, and a lot of post-work to make this thing work. So the good news is, Tom, the work is on. You know, it's game on right now, trying to figure this thing out. And we're gonna keep hammering away at it. You talked about this before. Seasons are changing across the country. We're trying to push seasons back where necessary.
Look, let me interrupt you for a second again, because I just mentioned that to Jimmy. And my thing with you, Jimmy, off the air, my thing to you is now in South Carolina, talk about the season opens too early in the spring. Will there be chance of curtailing hunting as, again, for lack of a better term, as a predation factor? I mean, cutting seasons in half or whatever? Is hunting under the gun, pun intended?
It's on a radar screen. It's one of those things that I think Fish and Wildlife would hope not to do. I mean, look, revenue counts in the big picture, but, without species, you don't get the revenue anyway.
And, Lou, I will say, hunters are the true conservationists. We see a threat, it's not like with the quail and the rough grouse. And just stop with no hunting. That's it.
That's
right. Right. So, again, that's walking a fine line. Again, white-tailed deer, greatest success story. Wildlife management. Turkeys were right there, greatest success story. Listen, now there's a bit of a slide, and we're trying to address it. We're speaking with Lou Gambale, chairman of the National Wild Turkey Federation's President's Council. Lou, we're up 2 minutes up against a hard break. You want to give a plug into the Wild Turkey Federation? Go.
Oh, hey, listen. We need you to join the flock. At the end of the day, go to either NJNWTF or our national site, NWTF.org. Join our flock. Every dollar counts. We're very proud that we were able to contribute monetarily to this research project here in New Jersey. And collectively, without those dollars, we can't get a lot of this work done. So a simple membership is not going to break the bank. I can guarantee you that we are a full scope conservation organization. We're looking out for the big picture across the country. And that's why I'm so passionate about being a member of it, because 88 cents of every dollar goes to the mission.
That is amazing. That's a great return. Listeners, on the investment, National Wild Turkey Federation, we have Jersey chapters too, we have a local chapter as well. Lou, thanks for joining us. Godspeed. Hope to see you this spring, brother.
Love you, brother. Thank you.
Take care, man. Hey, Brajol and Ronies, we got it going.
Yeah, amen.
Take care, man.
Bye-bye, brother.
Lou Gambale was a great guest. Grab that cup, grab that Rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
News. I'm Chris DeMeo. President Biden signing a bill Friday averting a government shutdown.
Today we get some good news. We just signed a bill to keep the government open.
The measure extends two funding deadlines that go to early March. Actor Alec Baldwin again indicted on involuntary manslaughter charges in the shooting death of a cinematographer on a movie set. Baldwin denying pulling the trigger.
There are many experts who would say that gun cannot fire without a trigger being pulled. Then there'll be the questions, of course, of why and how did that live bullet get into the chamber of that weapon.
Fox's Jonathan Hunt. Baldwin could get 18 months in jail. A prosecutor convenes a grand jury to review evidence in a mass shooting in Uvalde, Texas. 21 people were killed. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Windy, cold, clouds and sun today. The high today only 25. Clear, windy, cold night tonight, low 16. And then sunshine, a cold wind for tomorrow. The high tomorrow at 32. On Monday, it'll be partly sunny, a little bit warmer. The high Monday afternoon at 39. I'm AccuWeather's Steve Williams on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Yeah, back inside, Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend, January 2021. Yeah, a little bit of snow out there the other day. No big dealio. As Hutch said, man, it's showtime. It is showtime. And mark your calendars, coming up in a couple of weeks, February 3rd, Resorts Casino Hotel and Ballroom, 1133 Boardwalk in Atlantic City. The return of the Saltwater Sportsman Seminar Series to New Jersey with the great George Poveroma. A little teaser right now, folks, because he's probably on the water fishing somewhere. Gracious enough to hang on the phone for a few minutes. George, congratulations. You are back after a 3-year layoff because of that damn COVID. You are about to kick ass again. Sorry.
Well, yes, we are, Tom, and I'm not fishing. I'm in Wilmington, North Carolina, getting set for a seminar here, and we're seminaring, and yes, year 37.
Wow, George, 37!
37 years. You believe that? We did 3 years on television because of COVID to keep the continuity, and then we're back on the road. We just knocked off Fort Myers. We did Destin. We're at Wilmington, North Carolina today, Florida Keys next Saturday. Then we come to one of my favorite stops, AC Jersey.
And, George, you have said, and listeners, George is as honest as the day is long, man. He says Jersey has some of the best anglers, saltwater anglers, on either coast including the Gulf. George, our guys and gals kick ass, do they not?
There's no doubt about it. I love intermingling and fishing and talking about it because you guys that are out there are some of the best offshore guys around. They could run with some of the best out of South Florida. Well, in fact, a lot of South Florida guys are transplanted
from Jersey
to begin with. I know.
Yeah, listen, we're gonna get George's gonna be on next week. A whole section on that show. It's gonna be super on the seminar series. But it's a great lineup of Captain Crudelli, Mikey Villanova, Steve Perul, Tommy Daffin, among the great bunch of panelists. George, you covered the colleges. Shout out to Kyle. You covered the bases with this roster, my brother. Nikki Honoshevsky. Well, oh, you got it all.
We do, the brand new textbook to celebrate the new seminar, all the goodies, and also just to get out there, where you already went over 300 pre-sold tickets already for Jersey. We're 2 weeks out, so if they're thinking about getting tickets, they better hurry because it's going to be a barn burner.
Listen, the $65 comes with a bunch of stuff. You're going to walk away with easily $300, if not more, of product, plus the door prizes. George, we're going to get you on next week. Get back to setting up. Again, George, what are the times of the show?
Seminar 9 a.m. until 3 p.m., 1 hour break at noon. And then for seminar attendees, there's an after seminar party at Bass Pro Shops in Atlantic City that starts at 4 and runs until 7. But our seminar will be at Resorts Grand Ballroom.
Okay, George, find out more about the seminar series and the purchase tickets. Give the site, go!
NationalSeminarSeries.com. NationalSeminarSeries.com.
George, it's going to be super. Looking forward to seeing you there. Listen, you'll hear me coming in the hallways. Now you'll hear me out there in the parking lot.
I'm expecting to hear you coming through the parking lot. I'm looking forward to hearing all the F-bombs you guys are so fondly throwing up there.
George, it's the Jersey heritage. Come on.
I'm loving it.
You know what the bleep we're talking about?
100%. Everyone thinks I'm from Jersey anyway. When I come up there, they don't know I was born and raised in Miami. They think I'm from Jersey somewhere.
Goodbye. You could be from North Jersey, or you could be from South Jersey. You're there. George, for our listeners, a couple of weeks. George, we'll see you. Take care, man.
Bye-bye.
I have so much fun at the show. I just sit and learn, and you learn, and you learn, and you learn, and he has some of the best. When I used to have the Suffolk account, I did four or five of these seven around the country, and incredible, incredible anglers out there, but Jersey has some of the best. Go to the site. You'll see the full lineup. We'll get more into that next week. Coming up, our next segment, Joe is George, don't forget also, his great saltwater fishing with George Poveroma TV series. Next segment, saying goodbye to an outdoor TV icon, speaking with his son. It's just the industry lost a giant. Hey, be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
This is South Jersey's talk station, WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
It's a new year. It's a new day. Save all month long at Matt Platt Mitsubishi every day. So if you're currently stuck in a loan or lease, Matt Platt Mitsubishi wants to get you released so you can celebrate this new year and get you into a brand new Mitsubishi Outlander or Eclipse Cross SUV, both with zero down and 0% APR financing for 60 months. Have a job clearing for 50 per week at Matt Platt Mitsubishi, you're virtually approved. And only Matt Platt Mitsubishi has a 4-day love it or leave it return policy. So if you're worried that your credit will keep you from getting a new ride, Matt Platt Mitsubishi wants to finance your future, not your past. Simply, Matt Platt Mitsubishi. Rate qualifications exist. Not all will qualify. $16.66 per thousand finance. Unapproved with 01 credit. Rebates and incentives for dealer. Go to MattPlattMitsubishi.com. 844-946-2315 for complete details. Plus tax, license, registration fees. Offers can't be combined. Expires 2/4/24. So come in today and get your deal your way. Located right in the heart of Glassboro for over 30 years.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Jim Gaffigan here with some more Straight Talk. Now you can get a Walmart Plus membership, plus not pay for it, because it's included with Straight Talk wireless plans. You get free delivery with Walmart Plus, Plus, a Paramount Plus subscription included. Plus, you pay less for gas. That's a lot of pluses.
Only Straight Talk gives you unlimited 5G data and Walmart Plus included on select plans for free.
Straight Talk Wireless, available at Walmart.
Requires service on Gold or Platinum Unlimited. One offer per eligible account. Paramount Plus Essential Plan only. Separate registration required. Additional terms apply.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Hey, you're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of January 20th and 21st. We're wrapping it up with our final segment. It's sort of bittersweet for me in that the passing of one of the icons in the outdoor hunting, fishing, adventure TV biz. Longtime acquaintance, met him in 1989 in Las Vegas at what was then known as, it was the last year, it was known as the AFTMA show, American Fishing Tackle Manufacturers Association. And as I said, before it became ICAST. Guy had fire in his belly and fire in his eyes at like a 10-alarm blaze. I mean, this guy was just, he was the epitome of enthusiasm and commitment. Talk, I found him just an interesting fellow. His name was Buck McNeely. Had a TV show, just started a show a couple of years earlier. The Outdoorsman with Buck McNeely. Well, people, it's come to be, I guess, still the largest syndicated outdoor show. It's not just hook and bullet. There's hunting naturally, but tourism, environment, conservation. And I remember Buck, we tried to get together to do a Rack and Fin Radio segment over the years. It just never happened. Buck's busy. He's out of Cape Girardeau, Missouri, home of Rush Limbaugh. Everybody, yeah, Rush Limbaugh. Buck was just larger than life, an incredible guy. And I'll never forget when he told me the family was expecting a boy. I said, it was, again, one of the shows. We'd see each other in passing. He was a shot show, like whatever. He was a whirling dervish. He was everywhere. I said, do you have a name picked out? Max, he said. Max, as in Max. Maximum, Maximilian, Max. I don't know. And over the years, you know, Max grew into the gig, and he and his dad were all over the world. And just it was just a pleasure and an honor to know him. Again, Buck and I would talk Argentina. My Dorado fishing down there and doing some dove hunting. Him hunting up red stag and dove and waterfowl. He was a true adventureman, and his TV shows just bore that out, and the enjoyment and the pleasure and the commitment to excellence and his commitment to, again, environment and conservation towards and family. Speaking of family, Buck, I was going to see you on the other side, brother. You know that. A couple of weeks ago, I was floored. My lovely Dee Marie came in the office and said, "Babe, you're all right." I was floored by the news of Buck's passing. Well, his son, Max, very special guest on the Rack and Fin Radio line right now for a few minutes. It's sorrowful, yes, but just to talk the strides, how Buck impacted especially the hunting end of the TV industry. Max, it's a pleasure to have you, little brother. Wish it was under better circumstances, but I know your dad's saying, let's go kick some ass, brother. How you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing good, man. Just keeping the fort going here and living large, as he would.
Max, your dad was, as I said earlier, a few minutes ago, it was larger than life. His zest for life, he was a businessman above all. He's a family man above all else. Getting you, your brother Rex, into the outdoors. You went to that a little bit because now you're taking over, I mean, the show, correct? Outdoorsman Buck McNeely is now in your lap. Am I right?
Yes, sir. I'm the one wearing the crown now.
Max, you were a big part in recent years, a big part of this show's success. This is a big load to carry. But back to your dad growing up, was he always, like when I would see him at the shows or talk on the phone, coming right at you? Was he like that at the home front?
Oh, yeah. He was always in your face, and, you know, you can't avoid that loud, booming voice he always had. But he was always a good dad. He'd always be there with a good stern lesson or a good funny joke. He was always there for it.
Max, getting you involved in the hunting, fishing camp, the outdoors in general, about what age and how did that progress? And to getting into being a part, an integral part of the success of the Outdoorsman with Buck McNeely?
Well, he started taking me fishing with him, of course, when I was a kid, and deer hunting. My first deer was at 11 years old in Alabama. And I always grew up with an interest in filming and editing and all that, and kind of taught myself a little. Then I went to school for a couple of years to fine-tune it even more. And a year after my graduation, I was ready to travel the world with him and really, really dive deep into the whole world of hunting and fishing for television.
And travel the world, both of you have done. Listeners, it's amazing. Are these episodes archived? I mean, how many stations are you guys on now? 300, 400? It's the largest syndicated show still, correct?
Yeah, largest syndicated outdoors program. We're on over 500 TV stations across the nation and globally.
Max, I know the family, it's a tough time, so Buck can never be forgotten, but in keeping this show going, again, I hate to cliche, you have big shoes to fill, but you do. I know you're up for the challenge. His dream for the future now, before his passing, what were you guys planning? Not to let the cat out of the bag, but even bigger and better things, which I find pretty tough to do from what you guys have done already.
Oh, yeah, we always had stuff in the works, you know. We were planning on going to Ireland and Scotland, possibly doing some hunting there. That's kind of our ancestral ground, so that's always been a bucket list item we wanted to do. I'm going to have to do that in his honor now because that's always what he wanted.
Hey, let me interrupt you for a second. You get to Scotland, you hunt those Capper Cali, the other version of grouse. If you miss, you know, they come back after you. Those birds are pissed off, man.
I've heard that, yeah. They're pretty nasty.
Well, Max, your dad was, listen, he wasn't just, I mean, he's always involved in film. I guess he went to college from California, originally went to college, got into the videography and a whole bit. But check this out. How rounded was Buck McNeely? He produced, hosted 18 episodes of a college dating game called Dream Date. I read that and I said, leave it to McNeely to do that when it comes to being well-rounded, man.
Yeah, he was a man of many talents. That was his show before the show kind of thing. And he kind of worked his craft a little through that and then ventured into the next one.
Well, Max, we wish you the best of luck and keep it going. Your dad was just, like I said, large in life, one of those people that you meet and you hate to leave and you can't wait to meet again, who was as honest as the day is long. I mean, he just looked you in the eye, and when McNeely said it, he meant it. And he didn't cut any corners. He was just, as Max said, in your face, loud, proud, and loved what he did, and most of all, loved his family and spreading the word of the outdoors. And again, the largest syndicated show is testament to his work ethic and to his drive.
Yeah, that's just who he was. Whatever he did, he was balls to the wall at it. Whatever it was, he never knew what taking a day off was or taking it easy. He knew how to put that effort into it, and it paid off more often than not.
Okay, Buck, listen, we have to close this out. Max, I'm sorry, we have to close this out. I'm thinking of Buck McNeely. This is his son, Max McNeely. Oh, by the way, was also one badass. I don't know how you had time to do this, Max. MMA fighter. That was pretty. When your dad sent me the information about that, I said, only a McNeely. It's only a McNeely out of Cape Girardeau is going to do that. But, Max, your adventures with your dad all over the world, your favorite place, your favorite hunt. What do you got?
Probably Africa overall, man, especially all the big game. The Cape Buffalo is his favorite to hunt over there. They call it Black Death for a reason. And when I got my first Cape Buffalo in 2011, he was tickled pink to welcome me to the Buffalo Hunters Club. And it was a real special moment there, for real, because that's intense. That's intense hunting.
Well, Max McNeely, we wish you the best in continuation of the show. Buck McNeely, untimely passing. A few weeks ago, the outdoor industry lost an icon, lost a mountain of a man. Maybe not the tallest, biggest, but just in spirit. Unbelievable. Midwest boy, California boy, Midwest boy on his own. Did it with great family support. Well, Max, we wish you the best of luck. Hopefully, hey, tell you what, Lake of the Ozarks. Let's go bass fishing. Sunrise Beach. Got a place. You want to go?
Hey, let's make it happen, man. I'm down.
Either that or tiger fish in South Africa. What do you think? Oh,
I can definitely do that, too. That'd always be fun, too.
Max, last thing again. Do people want to get into the outdoors with Buck McNeely? Tune in where? What's the deal?
Check with your local stations. It's all over. Or get with us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We'll be figuring out all that information in the times coming.
Now, when you release his autobiography, High Adventure Tales of a Gorilla Producer, you're coming back on Rack and Fin. You got that?
Oh, most definitely. We got to be promoting the hell out of that book because the fans deserve to read it. They'll dig it.
Take care, little brother. Be good. Be safe. Happy New Year. Talk to you soon.
Same to you. Live large.
Do it. Bye. You are not promised tomorrow. Hey, that's it for this week. I'm Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Get out there and enjoy. Winter bow season still going on. It's a lot of stuff happening out there. A little bit of snow. A lot of stuff happening. Get out and enjoy. And above all, unwrap each day like a precious gift that it is. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.
Join Mark Patrick Seminars and stop smoking now without cravings, irritability, weight gain, or your money back.
Totally changed my life.
It's amazing. I don't have any cravings.
You want to quit but have found it impossible? This is the thing for you. I have absolutely no cravings. It's the darndest thing I have ever seen in my life.
It's not for entertainment. It's for results.
Do it. It works. Period.
You've tried everything else. You need to come and try this.
Early bird special, only $49.99 guaranteed. Because don't just cut down, but stop smoking. In addition, lose all the weight, 100% guaranteed, with Mark Patrick Seminars. Let hypnosis destroy unwanted cravings and lose the weight. Seminars are Thursday, February 15th at the Hampton Inn in Absecon. Weight loss seminar, 5:30 p.m. Stop smoking seminar, 8 p.m. Or Saturday, February 17th at the Shore Club, Cape May Courthouse. Weight loss seminar, 11 a.m. Stop smoking seminar, 2 p.m. Sign up at markpatrickseminars.com.
Dr. Trudy Fleer here with the 5G Home Recovery Podcast. Let's talk about something called T-Mobile Home Internet Lite. What is Lite Internet and who approved that idea? Internet Lite is almost like 5G Internet, but once you download a few video games or movies and hit your cap, you get throttled to dial-up speeds, like from the 90s. Bogus. You don't have time for that. You need robust, fast, reliable internet. You need Xfinity. Learn more at xfinity.com/TMOFacts.
Now through March 20th, new customers can get internet on the Xfinity 10G network for just $25 a month for 12 months. You can save $120 over T-Mobile 5G home internet in your first year. Go to xfinity.com/TMOFacts, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless plan and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra. After promo, regular internet rates apply. Compares Xfinity Connect More 200 megabit internet to T-Mobile 5G home internet. Actual speeds vary.
If you're a contractor interested in doing lead-based paint hazard control work, there is an opportunity to take part in New Jersey's lead remediation and abatement program. Governor Murphy has committed $180 million in grant money to allow eligible community-based groups to hire qualified contractors to conduct lead-safe repairs in residential units in our state. To learn more, visit leadabatement.nj.gov.